This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And before we started this episode, Billy kind of came on the mic and you had like a nice, smooth NPR-like voice, and I was really feeling it.
Yeah, welcome to NPR. I'm Billy Jensen. This is my
so breathy
Alexis Linkletter and Jack Vanek, and we're going to be talking about smooth jazz.
Oh my gosh.
My least favorite genre of music.
Do you think that those like NPR hosts, I'm not like naming anybody in like specifically because I don't know who they are at all.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that they are like that in real life or?
No, they rage in real life. I think they get off the mic and then it's just like they're doing a
they
lot
punch
of
dance. They yeah. punch they're dance. They do karate kicks. They're just dance. Like a ball of energy once they're done.
Because nobody is actually like that all the time, unless you're on some sort of a downer, I'm assuming.
Know. I would like, to, I don't know.
I wonder that about Phoebe Judge from Criminal. Like, hi, I'm Phoebe. I'm like, but what about your real feelings, Phoebe? What about how you really feel, Phoebe?
What about when something pisses you off and you get angry?
Phoebe.
Or is it like somebody fucks you over?
Yeah, no, and I'm not talking shit. I listen to Criminal. I love that podcast.
I love her voice.
And me too. But I'm like, I want as much calm as her.
Yeah.
And is that how you always are?
She needs to bottle that. Yeah, she needs to bottle that.
She needs to bottle it and sell it to me. I'll subscribe monthly.
Sell it to me. I love how Alexis only sell it to me, not sell it to the world. Just sell it to me.
No, it's a superpower.
Yeah, you will have. You'll be the number one paying customer for some Phoebe Judge energy.
Honestly, seriously.
I love it so much. How are we doing today, guys?
We're good.
Right. Feeling good?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I prefer to have like a mimosa, but it's only noon on a Wednesday, so
I know we're
seems
trying
inappropriate.
Our best. You know, now that we have so many different episodes that we have to record every fucking week.
Yeah, I think
gotta get them in when we can.
We can't drink for all of them.
Can't drink for all of them. Speaking of all of our other episodes, this week on Patreon, you guys, if you're not subscribed to our Patreon, you're missing out on another Judge Me episode. We're talking about Rodney Alcala when he was on The Dating Game. And honestly, one of our best yet. I know I say that every week, but they just keep getting better.
I love these. It's my favorite segment. I mean, it's obviously the most involved of our Patreon episodes because it's sort of similar to First Degree in that we are intercutting this, you know, other audio asset. But really, he's a fascinating and terrifying character.
Yeah.
And just knowing we live in this like very reality TV focused culture now where there's background checks and things like that. We weren't dealing with that back in the 70s. So it's just fascinating to see sort of what slipped through the cracks. And Rodney Alcala is one of those things.
And I got to introduce the ladies to the things that I would watch as a little kid, because The Dating Game would be on. Like, it would be on during the day. And The Match Game would be on after that. It was just like, that was what you did. And it was a lot of really, you know, flashy clothing. We're talking about late 70s and, you know, the sets and everything. And we got to... You know, Jack got to weigh in on the fashion, so that's always fun.
And it's like every single thing that is said on one of those shows is either offensive, or
sexist. There's like, inappropriate touching and kissing, and everyone where the host, like, I'm not saying this happened in this episode, but I've seen other shows where it's like the host kisses the female contestants. I'm like, that would never happen now.
No, it's like you really do see the disconnect of how things were in this. Yeah. It was the 70s and
that was the
today.
70s, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, holy shit, things have changed.
That's
so,
right.
Anyways, we're going through his whole experience on the dating game show for our Patreon. So go check that out. And I don't think we have any other housekeeping, do we?
No.
No, just sign up for Patreon if you're not there yet.
Yeah,
there's some good stuff on there.
Some good stuff. All right. Well, what day is it today, Billy?
Today is June 9th, and the dark day is it's Donald Duck's birthday. And you might think, like, what do you mean? Why is that dark day?
What's dark about Donald Duck?
He's a pantsless wonder.
Yes. So 1934, this was his first appearance, came out on June 9th. It was a cartoon called The Wise Little Hen. And it was part of the Silly Symphonies. They would put these in theaters. So they would be these short movies that you would see in theaters. So if you were going to see a kind of a regular movie or something like that, you would see these before the regular movie. You would either see these or you would see news clips. And that's how they got so popular, you know, is that instead of previews or whatever, you would see this stuff.
Interesting.
So they recognized this day as being Donald's birthday. So... Now, Donald was always would go on to be known as sort of like this temperamental, mischievous foil to the good old boy Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And it's a dark day because in a magic kingdom filled with happiness, Donald is filled with rage.
He's got anger issues.
His favorite catchphrase is "Ah, fooey."
Yeah.
And,
that, yeah.
You know, looking through, Donald has had some philosophical moments. I don't know if I didn't find this. That he actually said this, but it's attributed to him. He said this, which is very, I love this. It's, don't get confused between my personality and my attitude. My personality is who I am, and my attitude depends on who you are.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if he really said that.
I'm just surprised to hear that he has any, like, diction. I thought he just, like, had, like, indiscriminate quacking that was sort of rage-fueled, but I've never actually, the fooey thing I recall.
Yeah.
But... that seems a little too poignant.
No, this is like a Marilyn Monroe quote. This is like, can't deserve me at my best.
That's right. That's right.
But like, that is very poignant and it really is quite true.
Yes, it is. So, you know, he would always blow his top, but usually he would just get real. It usually would start out that everything was going good for him. And he was just like, I'm just spending a nice day at the beach. And then someone would want to come and mess with him. Either it was Chip and Dale or
can we talk about something real quick? When he would spend time at the beach, what I found fascinating is that he would like put a towel around his waist. And I'm like, you don't fucking have pants on anyway. Like, why do we need a towel around your waist when you're at the beach?
Yeah, but when you're walking around town, that's okay.
But not at the beach.
I'm really into the vibe. As somebody who also, I'm not wearing pants right now. I don't like pants.
You're not a pants person.
No, I'm not a pants person. I hate them. So I really look up to that one aspect of him. Not others, but that's the one that I really resonate with.
Sure.
Yes. So, you know, but normally he would just get really angry and kind of throw punches in the air and, you know, blow his top.
Punch dance. Theme of the episode.
The theme of the episode is punch dancing. But then something happened. And we are going to get into what potentially happened in True Crime Rewind.
Yeah. Because, he has a history, which might lead to some of his issues that he currently
deals
with.
I'm saying. There could be an explanation for several of the behavioral issues we're deconstructing here.
Yes. Imagine us. I mean, who would have thought that our true crime podcast would leave us to deconstructing behavioral issues of Disney cartoon characters?
Well,
but here
that,
we are.
It's not
honestly,
that surprising, though.
That might be a good podcast.
And considering Billy's like fascination with Disney, I think it aligns pretty well.
Yeah, it actually is a perfect podcast for
No, I would rather do the deconstructing the psychology of the rides, because when you go on the rides on Disneyland, they are ridiculously dark. I mean, if you go on the you know, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, it's about a guy that's addicted to cocaine that likes to drive and then runs into a train. I mean, that's basically what the ride is.
Maybe we need like some kind of a limited edition series on this or something.
It's not a terrible idea.
I really like it. And I feel like Billy's such a expert on all this shit that this...
It could work.
We'll talk about this.
Yeah, we'll
off
talk
air,
about it.
Okay. But I really like this. And also, as a listener, let us know if you like this idea.
I know. Mm-hmm. I hear for
you
it.
Just learned so much. All right. Well, we're going to come back to Donald Duck in a little bit. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session. All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. If you're new here, every week we are bringing a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand that we're either loving or hating, and we kind of like tell our reasoning why, have a healthy discussion, and then vote if it's guilty or not guilty. After that, make sure you're following us on Instagram, because we're throwing it on Instagram, and then all of you people get a vote, and if you agree with us or not, you let us know.
I love that.
So, who would like to go first?
Anybody? I nominate Billy.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
So, you know, I fly a lot, and this is very Seinfeld-y. All right. So now Seinfeld used to do, and since I've tried to come to terms with On the Stand by relating it to Seinfeld, you know, Seinfeld used to do this bit about the tuna fish sandwiches and how expensive they were at the airports. And he thinks that the entire business of traveling is based around the economy of tuna fish sandwiches. Now, when I go to the airport, one of the things that I'm a pretty punctual guy. I'm often very early, so I will always go to the gift shop. And I'll look around at the books. I'll look around at the magazines.
Well, he's also a hoarder and loves tchotchkes. Like,
loves a trinket.
I've never seen a guy who loves, like, toys and magnets and asinine items more than Billy Jensen.
A souvenir.
Yeah.
All right. So I go in and I look at, you know, I try to figure out how much stuff is normally, what stuff normally costs versus what they are trying to, you know, boost it up. Mm. And there are certain things that, you know, yeah, it's like a bottle of water is like $4.99, which it normally would be $1, you know,
yeah,
or $2, yeah, or something like that. But the way that they're really fleecing people is with the kids. So I go to the toys, because a lot of times, like, you're at an airport, you're like, oh, I forgot to get a gift for the kid. You know, I'm coming back from a trip. Hey, would you get me daddy? And then you get him stuff.
Yeah, but you're not, you don't have young kids anymore. So
I know, but I'm looking out for everybody
else.
The
toys are for you. The toys
are
for you.
That was his excuse for him to be able to go to the gift shop. He's like, and I swear I have a kid.
That was an excuse to go to Disneyland all the time. And now, yes, he's like reaching for shit.
Now I'm reaching for
now
it.
Now you're, yes, an adult Disneylander.
Yeah.
Yes. Which we will definitely cover on another On the Stand. And we have a very special guest that will be part of that, which, yes, is going to be coming up soon. But yeah, I look at the Hot Wheels cars. Now, Hot Wheels cars are amazing because they are a great toy, and they started out at like maybe 30 cents and they're still only $1, whereas any other toy, any other action figure, anything like that has grown with inflation like 500%, 600%. They sell Hot Wheels cars for 99 cents at every store you can think of, like a CVS or a Target. They sell them at the airport for $4.99. And I think that's wrong, and I don't like it. And I'm putting that on the stand.
I mean, but that, it goes hand in hand exactly for how you were pricing water.
Mm-hmm.
Where a water bottle is $1 and it's $4.99 at the airport. I feel like it only makes sense that the Hot Wheels inflation rate is...
What? There are certain things that they know that they can't charge extra for. Like, you can't charge extra for a book because the book has, you know, then they won't upsell the book.
I have something relevant to add here. I just saw an article about this. So at JFK, it was an East Coast airport. It's either JFK or LaGuardia. I can't remember. A customer posted on Twitter like a receipt of a beer that they paid for, or beer on a menu that was like $34.
Mm-hmm.
So,
shut up.
So New York State's like, are like, it was, people were aghast. It was just because it was a Sam Adams. It was like a Sam Adams summer ale.
Should
or
be
something.
$7. Yeah.
You can literally Google this. It's like a thing that just came out this week. And now, JFK is putting a restriction on everything in airports where you can only surcharge 10% more than what they normally cost, because
there,
like, this one brewery got like too fucking bold, because people will pay it. People are like, it's like being in Vegas. They're excited to go on a trip, like,
or like being at like a theme park. It's like you're stuck in this place. They're going to charge an exorbitant amount of money, and you're just going to do it because you really want that Sam Adams beer.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now like these people who did this fucked up, who was charging too much, because now it's like, and you also have to offer now really affordable items on the menus.
Wow.
For people.
Yeah, so
did you Google it?
Yes, I Googled it. So New York officials ban airports, is on Yahoo News, ban airports for charging up to $28 for a beer, a price tag they described as totally indefensible.
Yeah, and there was
right,
one on
one
the menu
Sam
that was even more.
Bucks.
There was one that surpassed $30 on their menu.
That is so insane. I was going to say, I actually like... I can't really remember a time that I've been in an airport that the alcohol is so much more than it would be at a bar in LA. Like,
in LA, feel, yeah.
It's like you, it's like what you're paying $12 for a beer or something like that. Like, I was, that was going to be my point, but that's so insane.
Insane. And they went too far because now New York's like, okay. Like, because it's not like the state
they got
gets
greedy.
Like, they got greedy because this, it's not like the state gets a cut of it. So they're like, fuck you. We're going to like enforce this. Like, you guys went too far because that's just so indefensible.
And this was at LaGuardia, which is one of the craziest small, tiny airports.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's the one I used to always fly out of.
Damn. You know.
All the other airports are going to be pissed.
Yep.
They sure
All right,
are.
So
and
there
hopefully
you go.
We can get an affordable beer. So
that's right. So be part of that, Firsty Nation. Guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty. Inflation at airports. That's what Taylor can say what that was.
Yeah.
For our Instagram, because those are very roundabout on the stand.
Yes.
I'm going to go next. Please tell me if I've already done this one before, because it's something that I hate that I might have talked about, but I don't know. And that is a wooden utensil. Have I talked about my disdain for wooden utensils? Okay. Wooden utensils are on the stand. I know I'm not the only person that feels this way, but anything wooden that I have to put in my mouth area, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. It creeps me out. It ruins the food that it's on. And it's just like a travesty for my life.
What about a chopstick?
Chopsticks?
They don't go in your mouth, really.
They don't. They kind of just, I also don't like them. I would prefer a plastic or like a wood, not a wooden, a anything but wood chopstick, but like a tongue depressor, like creeps me out. A popsicle stick. I can't do popsicles for that reason. A wooden fork. It is disgusting. I feel like it's the same thing as a paper straw. It kind of just like ruins the food that it's touching. And I feel like, yes, we're trying to be environmentally friendly, but there are so many compostable utensils that we can get that are not wood.
Or just like a metal fork at your home. Just say no utensils with your delivery and just use your forks that you have, people.
But if you're out and about and you're at like a fucking Erewhon or something like that and
all
they have
is a tortilla and it's a handheld, whatever it is.
That's true. I guess stop eating salads at that point.
Yeah, just put it in like a little nori wrap if you're carb conscious. You know, there's a million things you can do to not use utensils. And honestly, Jared has told me about the tradition he has where he likes to eat a whole chicken and a piece of bread with his bare hands. Like, anything can be finger food if you try hard enough.
That's right, because he likes to feel like he's at medieval times.
Yeah, he likes to feel like he's a Viking.
Yeah, it brings it, it like gives him a this
we need
really,
to go to, we need a trip.
He's like, I get times. Just a whole rotisserie chicken and a baguette, and I just eat it with my hands.
He does. He does from California Chicken Cafe. And we do need to go to medieval times, except for the last time I was there, I had an allergy attack, and I had to leave.
Are you allergic to horses?
Yeah. But you know, that was a long time ago, and allergies kind of recycle, so maybe it's gone by this time.
Yeah. Totally.
But I would love to go to medieval times.
Yeah, they used to, unfortunately, medieval times used to have the green knight, and he was the bad knight. So, like, he was the evil knight, so everybody in the green section was, it was the coolest section, because, like, you were the one that everybody was rooting against, and
like
then
Slytherin.
I remember taking the kids there. It basically was like that, and I remember taking the kids, it was like, can we be in the green section? It's like, oh, we don't do that anymore, and I'm like, what the hell?
Really? No. Oh, they don't want to pit people against each other?
No, I guess not.
Also, green, so a green knight reminds me of the Green Power Ranger, Tommy, who is my favorite, so I can't really think of that as being negative. I feel like that as being the best, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say like the red knight would be the bad one.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Well, one off topic. Wooden utensil is a big guilty.
I can't.
Guilty.
There's some
wooden mixing spoon good, because you know you're not really putting your mouth on that. Mixing
I still don't
spoon?
Like it. No.
I like a wooden mixing spoon.
Yeah. There's some psychological trauma with me with the wooden spoon. So we'll get into that one later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Me too. I could guess. Okay.
Me too. It was a big New York thing.
That was a big New York thing. That was the weapon. That was the weapon.
You would like get hit on the butt with a wooden spoon if you were bad.
Yeah. And then it was just like, don't let me get the wooden spoon. And so the
wooden
spoon.
That's what my mom would say.
Yeah.
You
Isn't that
guys.
Crazy? Have we ever talked about that before? Yeah.
No, never.
Yeah.
But that's
because
like,
it was like,
she would literally just say wooden spoon and like run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
This explains a lot about this explains a lot about my personality, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Mine too, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, because, it does for both
I had
you.
No idea you had that. But yeah, no, that was a, I always thought it was an Italian mom thing, but it was just like, yeah, just like the wooden spoon. And then like, once you got hit with it a bunch of times, it was like, then it was like, don't let, you know, you want me to get the wooden spoon? And then it was like, nope, I'm good. Let me do what you want me to do.
Literally same with my mom.
Oh my God.
Isn't that funny?
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, so guilty.
guilty.
Okay. I don't have any childhood trauma tied to mine, but like maybe it's I'm feeling yours. Like,
yeah, I think you're just your empathy has taken this on.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Lexis.
Okay. So I'm in the middle of moving. So this is going to be moving related. So I am like throwing half of the things I own away because I do this sort of every once in a while. I purge so I don't over collect and over compound things. So I was like willy nilly going to the dumpster at my building and I looked in the dumpster and some dick bag bought a new suitcase that came in a box and they threw the box in the dumpster without breaking it down. Like throwing whole boxes in. First of all, we have recycling. That's A. B, cut, like use a scissor and fold your box flat. Cut, like that's insane. And there's like lots of people who live here. To not break down boxes and throw them in the trash is like the most wild thing to me.
Yeah.
Especially it's a giant oppressive box. I'm like, okay, half the box. So I took it out and I broke it down. But the next day, someone had bought like a new TV and did the same thing. I'm like, what is wrong? There's more than one person doing this because the same person who bought a new suitcase isn't buying a new TV. They're about to go on vacation.
Yeah.
So I'm like, several people are thinking this is okay. So we got to do something about this, people.
Well, my apartment complex has the trash chute, which is what, like 2 feet by 2 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, people are throwing unbroken down boxes down that all of the time.
That's insane.
And that's like, it's clogging up the whole thing. And then to take it a step further, next to the trash chute is this kind of little area, like before you go into the garage or whatever. Nothing is there. It's just kind of like a little corner.
Sure.
People have taken it upon themselves to decide that that corner is where they're discarding their trash that doesn't fit into the trash chute, which what they should do is go a step down to the floor underneath us and where all the garbage room is. But now people are putting like their furniture or these like big items like blenders and like whatever just in this area where it's like, you know, that it's somebody is going to have to end up discarding all of your items for you, which you should have done for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's so rude that you think you're above going down to the trash room.
You know, what would make that stop? A camera.
Mm. Yeah.
People are like, if no one knows it was me, they can feel fine about it. The second they're like, oh, someone can knock on my door and be like, ma'am, you left your old trash can here. Do you want to come collect that? And they'll be like, oh, yes, my word. I must have left it by mistake.
Okay. Yes. Immediately, it must have dropped out of my hand.
Immediately, because people don't like to be shamed. And it's a really rude thing to expect people to do things for you. You know, that is somebody's job, you know, and it's not in their job description because that's not meant for trash. So someone has to do that.
It isn't somebody's job, but then it's going to have to be because you're fucking lazy and a bitch.
Yeah. Okay. This is something that Donald Duck would really get upset about too. Guilty.
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 All right.
All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some Donald Duck.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree 50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and The RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35-plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime. Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hey everybody, welcome back to True Crime Rewind. We're going to be talking about Donald Duck and Disney and World War II and what that can happen. So here, let me just set the stage for what was going on. So Donald Duck was a character. He was a major character, part of the Fab Five, which is Donald, Daisy. Actually, Daisy isn't even in the Fab Five most of the time, but it's Donald, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, and Pluto. That's considered the Fab
Lots
Five.
Lots of women. Seems like a good balance.
So on December 7th, 1941, as you know, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. The next day at Disney Studios in Burbank, California, right down the street, Army soldiers took over half the campus as an Army anti-aircraft base. Like, this is how serious this thing was. They also started meeting with Disney because Disney actually served as an ambulance driver in World War One. And they wanted to see how the world's greatest entertainment company could help with the war effort. So they started doing training films with cartoons. They did propaganda. They designed military insignia for over 1,300 different units in the U.S. Armed Forces, which they did free of charge. Now, the Walt Disney Museum in San Francisco writes that Walt knew that cartoons would be an ideal medium for communicating with the American people in an uncomplicated and amusing manner. So it was a way to get people, because like kids were like, you had to recycle, mommy, why are we recycling, the oil from the cooking and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Or why are we buying this? Or why can't we buy this? And that kind of thing. So like things like food rationing and farm production, war bond sales, that was all that. So they used a lot of characters, but the one character they put at the forefront was Donald Duck. Now, in 1943, the New York Times singled out Donald Duck. So they used a lot of these characters, but they called him Ambassador at Large, a salesman of the American way, because of what he was doing. But they would throw him in a lot of battles. And I think they used Donald probably because, you know, Mickey was the main guy. Mickey didn't ever really have a temper. Mickey rarely fought, at least at this point, you know, in the 1940s. But Donald was the guy that had the temper, but he was also lovable. And like with famous characters, there are some conspiracy theories. Now, so Donald, like I was saying before, when Donald would get upset before the war, he would, you know, as Alexa said, he would dance, what was it, punch dance?
Yeah, he would like punch dance.
Yeah. He would just, you know, punch at the air and things. But then when he came back from the war, the artists that were drawing Donald started drawing him and putting him in situations and having him react to things in a lot more of a kind of a violent way.
Reactive. So,
I mean, yes. Touch dancing is violent, but yeah.
Well, I mean, not if you're around any other people. And listen,
well, if you're in like a mosh pit, it can be.
That's not violent. That's love right there.
No, people aren't punching each other in a mosh pit. Sometimes they're punching the air.
Yes. As someone who punch danced many times in a mosh pit, I will tell you.
That doesn't surprise me that that's your only way of dancing. Because I can't I honestly cannot not picture Billy dancing. I can't even
picture
it.
Him punch dancing.
I haven't ever
like
seen Billy.
Like a windmill kick?
I haven't seen him sway to a beat before. Like, I've never seen him rock a little.
Billy, do you have like
rhythm?
You know,
like
yeah,
video
do you have
of. I do have rhythm, yes.
You do?
I was a drummer, yeah.
You say that? Okay, he's a drummer. He's a singer. He's a guitar player.
Like, I actually don't think I've ever heard you say you're. Wait, have I?
I'll play drums right now.
I don't think Billy really plays drums. I think that's a conspiracy
theory. Me and Jared
can
start up a folk band right now, and I can play drums. Even though I haven't touched drumsticks in probably 5 years.
I don't think you play drums anymore. I think you used to dabble in the drums. Let's recharacterize.
All right, we will post a photo of me playing drums. All right, so
that doesn't show that you've played drums.
We need a video. We need a video of you playing drums well.
Actually, I need to be there in person because I feel like that's something you could fake on a video.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right then. All right. So there is talk of like, so he went from, and here's this thing called Wattpad, who had these cartoon theories. Somebody named Marionette wrote this. He went from just comically moving his fist when he got angry to trying to cut Chippendale in half with a saw. So they were actually showing that... check out how Donald reacts to the exact same situation before and after the war. In this strip from 1938, he wakes up and he finds his refrigerator empty. And his response in 38 was to, as Alexis was saying with the garbage disposal stuff, is to set up a camera to catch the thief.
Wow, they had surveillance cameras in 1938?
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it works. People don't... Yeah. It's like it's very effective deterrence. Like, people are like, I can't be caught. Someone will shame me and post this online and be like, look at this dickhead leaving their trash bag for someone else to pick up.
Yeah. Now, he sets it up to find the burglar, but the next day... he sees the photo and he realizes it was him sleepwalking. That's the joke. Now, they recycle the same premise in a 1945 comic called The Icebox Robber. But this time, Donald Duck, instead of trying to find out whoever robbed his icebox, simply shouts, "I'll warm those kids to a ruddy pink," and flips out on his nephews and threatens to kill them, basically.
Does that mean he's going to melt them?
I think he's just a ruddy pink.
To runny pink means like their guts?
I think more ruddy pink. I think it's more like I'm going to beat them.
Ruddy pink.
Beat them pink. Yes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Child abuse.
I thought you said runny pink. Ruddy, and I was like, they're going to be liquid
runny
when he's done
with weird.
Them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Both are or not.
Both are bad.
Yeah.
So in order to prove that Donald is sleepwalking and stealing his own food, the nephews, who by this point are terrified,
also,
they decide to wake.
It's like
he's sleepwalking in both of these.
Yes, he's sleepwalking in both of these. Okay. They took a premise, and before he was just chill. He's like, I'm going to set up a camera. I'm going to catch this person. It's all going to be good. The next time he blames his nephews and says, I'm going to beat the hell out of you guys. This is Huey, Louie, and Dewey, by the way. And so then he says, they decide to wake him up with some firecrackers. So while Donald is sleepwalking, his nephews throw firecrackers on the floor under him. He wakes up petrified. He jumps from the floor and he says some really racist stuff. But he says, I'm in a minefield, machine guns ahead, it's an ambush, etc. So it's like they were setting it up that he was having a flashback. And it's one of the symptoms, which is something that is incredibly serious, which is PTSD, along with anger, sleeping troubles, and pretty much any other part of your personality, anxiety, everything like that. So... he starts chasing them around with a sharp stick. It's like this whole to-do.
Sharp stick?
Yes. He's saying like, I'm going to throw a few hand grenades at you and that sort of thing. So the theory is that the people that were drawing Donald changed him, at least right after the war, from being somebody that was just, you know, always a little bit unhinged, but at the end of the day would chill out, to somebody that would get, you know, incredibly violent and out of hand when something didn't go his way.
Just interesting to put a harpoon in his hand, a sharp stick. It's like, that's not even what they didn't even use that in World War II, did they?
I don't know. I think sharp sticks are always used everywhere. So
it's just like, it's so crazy that these cartoons were shown to children and they're like so fucked up and violent.
Oh, yeah.
And you like don't really think about it until you actually think about it. And you're like, wow.
I've thought about it a lot. Like a lot of Disney stuff, even stuff that was made in the 80s, when you think about Pinocchio, they're like, all these kids are on this island, these boys who are going to get turned into donkeys or whatever happens, and they're drinking beer, and then someone lights the island on fire.
Yeah.
And the kids are like scrambling as they turn and slowly turn into donkeys. And I was like, this is a lot. This is intense. Like it's underage drinking. Well,
yeah.
It's arson.
Like,
it's murder.
So dark.
Yeah.
So dark.
Well, Pinocchio was the 40s, but like,
no, the one that we watched was not made in the 40s.
That was still from the 40s. That was still from the 40s.
No, but no, it wasn't. It wasn't made in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I promise.
Regardless, whenever it was, still fucked up.
Yeah.
No, it was incredibly. And as we all know, you know, Pinocchio is very much a biblical tale and there's a lot of biblical stuff in there. And when you look at the Bible has a lot of messed up things in it as well. So, but you know, you just look at Tom and Jerry, and then Tom and Jerry was lampooned on The Simpsons by Itchy and Scratchy. And Itchy and Scratchy obviously go completely overboard with, like, you know, ripping their guts out and all of these things. But when you look back at Tom and Jerry, it was just like, you know, the things that we were raised on, particularly in the 70s and 80s, were pretty rough.
Well, Ren and Stimpy also was like a variation of that too. Yeah. Like where my mom was like, you can't watch this. I was not allowed to watch it.
It was my favorite show when I was a kid. Loved it so much.
It's gross. It's a gross show.
It was more gross.
There's so many like there's sexual innuendos all in Disney movies too. Like all the weird shit that all those writers and animators were all like secretly putting in there. I had like a phase of my life that I was obsessed with finding all of those.
I found one in Pocahontas was the most obvious one that I've ever seen.
The one with, what about the priest in Little Mermaid and his fucking boner was moving all over the place?
I don't remember that one, but the Pocahontas one, I honestly thought it was a myth until I watched it again.
What is it?
So basically she's like, I think singing Colors of the Wind or something, and she like something hits a ground and all these like flowers and like leaves pop up.
Isn't that Aladdin?
Mm-mm.
And it says sex in the air?
It's Pocahontas.
Oh,
Pocahontas has one too, then. That's the one. Yeah. And it says sex in the air.
Yeah.
But Pocahontas has one too. And I'm like, I cannot believe, like, I love the writers for doing it, but what a bold move.
And then wasn't there one, I don't know, what was that mouse movie? The Mouse Disney one?
Feifel Goes West?
I don't know. But
the Rescuers?
Maybe with the Rescuers? That there was like a scene of... what's it called? One frame. There's like a frame of actual porn in the windows of one of these movies.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like actual people. It wasn't even like animated people. It was like
that's
a frame
so
of actual people having sex that was like just a blip. But like that subliminal messaging, man. You don't know how that affected these little kids watching that.
I love it.
We should get into those later too.
We will do that. That'll be
this
a topic,
shit fascinates me. All this like weird Disney stuff.
I know.
Yeah. All right, we will do a dark Disney exploration at some point, but there you go. So happy birthday, Donald.
Hope you're doing okay.
You're doing all right. Yeah.
Billy?
So we want to hear about some of the things that you might have done that may not be as...
Like
the naughty Disney animators. So that's going to come up next.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You are What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hi, Worsty Firsties. Another amazing opportunity to air out your, you know, your truths, your confessionals. And we're just going to dive right into this. And I'm excited because this one, our first one, is from an Aussie. And we don't get a lot of Aussies calling in. So I'm stoked.
That's good.
All the way from across all the ponds.
Yes.
So let's do this thing.
Hey, guys. Calling from Australia. I hope you're doing really well. I'm not sure if it's necessarily the worst thing I've ever done, but classic nonetheless. And it actually involves my wife who put me on to you guys. So shout out, babe. Love you. Now, one of her girlfriends had broken up with a long-term partner, and he was being an absolute dick. He seemed to know where she was all the time, when she'd go to the shops, when she'd go to another house or something, and he'd use it to harass her. Now, after some digging, we found out that she shared an email account with him, and this was linked all their devices together, and hence how he knew where she was all the time. The best part was, this muffin didn't realise it gave her access to his phone as well. So my wife and I gave her really detailed instructions on how to remote wipe his phone, which she did. And a couple of days later, she got the most irate message from him saying his phone had been wiped. He lost all his photos, videos, like all his family photos and videos because he didn't have it backed up on the cloud. What a muppet. That's it, guys. Short and sweet. I just think it's fantastic. It's nice. Ain't karma a bitch sometimes. And the moral of the story, don't be a dick. And don't mess with my badass wife. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got to jump in. He's my favorite guy ever. And he's like, and your wife, everybody should be doing this, introducing the podcast to your significant other. I just want to say that.
I just want to say that calling somebody a Muppet is a fucking A+ offensive comment. I love it.
I think that should be what we use now instead of like asshole or like shitty. It is something that we used a lot since the beginning. Muppet is the new like see you next shitty Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like I think Muppet should be the new like dagger to the heart.
And you need to say absolute fucking Muppet. Like, that's the phrase.
I think it's pronounced Moppet, actually. It's
Moppet?
Yeah.
He said Muppet. He said Muppet.
Is a Moppet something else?
It's like a child.
Oh. He said Muppet. And the transcription of this call said Muppet. We're going to Muppet.
We're saying Muppet. Yeah.
And I also think it just brings up an interesting topic in general because, listen, he didn't like that game being played back. The person who was stalking your wife's friend, he was like, using that to his advantage because she obviously didn't realize their phones were still linked and that there was geotagging that was opening her up to being followed or whatever.
Yeah.
So she then uses it to get him to stop as like a warning, like, I'm going to wipe your shit. And then he didn't like that very much. And it's like, that's just how the world works, man. That's just
karma.
How the world works. And people like to dish it out, but when it comes back, they don't like that. Anyways, on to the next one.
On to the next.
Hello, my favorite podcast hosts. I'm calling to leave the worst thing I've ever done. And I'm not sure if it's really the worst thing I've ever done, but it's the only thing I can think of right now. But this happened about 5 years ago, and I was dating the person who is now my husband. We had just started dating. It was summertime, and there was a concert coming to town, and we really wanted to go. But it wasn't like a normal concert. It was at this bar in my town that brings in like country music acts. And sometimes it's like up-and-comers, and sometimes it's older people that aren't as popular anymore. But this show had sold out really quick, and neither one of us had gotten any tickets. We just kept talking about how much we really wanted to go. And so I made it my personal mission to find tickets for this concert. And it was the same night. So I was like on Facebook Marketplace and just like trying to search everywhere. So finally I found tickets on Craigslist, which is just probably not the best idea ever. But I found the tickets and the lady was selling them. So I emailed her and I said, hey, I want your tickets. Like I can meet you to get them. And she said, no, like I live an hour away. I'm not coming to town. So, I'll just give you the login to my ticket account and you can print them off yourself. And I said, okay, that's fine. Like, how do you want me to pay you? I can send you money through PayPal or I think I had Venmo at the time or whatever. And she said, oh, I don't have any of that. Just send me a check. And I said, okay, yeah, that sounds great. So get her tickets, go to the show, have a great time. And then I never sent her the check. And I didn't do it on purpose. And I do feel really guilty about this because I'm assuming she was probably an older person. She didn't have PayPal or any other way to get money electronically, and I had to send her a check. I wrote the check, and I put it in an envelope, and then I just never sent it. And I would think about it periodically about how I never sent her a check. And now it's 5 years later, and sometimes I still think about it, and I do feel guilty because she probably tells people stories about me about why she doesn't trust Craigslist because some person scammed her out of concert tickets. So that's one of the worst things I've ever done. I accidentally stole tickets from some nice lady on Craigslist. But keep up the great work. Love the podcast.
It's not too late.
I know.
It's not too late. Send the check. Mm-hmm. I've done this before. Not this thing, but I've done things that I don't feel good about out of procrastination.
Yes.
Or just like negligence, never with malice. And I understand exactly. You wrote the check. You put it in the envelope. You probably didn't have stamps. So you're like, I'll send it. I'll go get stamps and I'll send it. And it just wasn't a priority and you kept forgetting. But like, imagine the faith you could restore if you still sent it. If she's an older person and it was 5 years ago, she probably still lives there. Write a note and explain yourself and send the check. Send the check.
Totally, they'll love it.
You'll feel so much better.
Yeah, you'll feel so much better about it. You can fix this thing. And I will say this, it was so much better when I was a kid when we didn't have any of this digital stuff. You had to buy tickets for a concert from a dude behind a van at the arena. You know, that was the only way the transactions were made. So there was none of this, you know, didn't send the check nonsense.
But like, there's a thing that I want to acknowledge that there's no word for, and I'd like to coin a term for. It's like millennial anxiety, which creates these situations. It's like not wanting to answer the door, not wanting to make the phone call and go the extra mile, like, because we're just a generation who, your instant gratification, you want to be able to Venmo or PayPal and you couldn't. So it was like, I'll send the check. And then there's just anxiety around these things that are sort of not easy for us for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And like, again, you're not a bad person. I've done these little inconsequential sort of negligent things that in hindsight are shitty, right? But like, send the check.
Yeah, they're not out of malice. I feel
like. Do it for you. You're still haunted by it. Even if the person moved, do it for you. It's self-care. It's self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. All right. Well, Alexis, I think that we have one thing left for this episode. Yeah.
All right. I'm not sure how you guys are going to feel about this one, but it doesn't have a title.
Okay. Untitled.
Untitled.
Today's Costanza stanza will be quite the extravaganza. Like Donald Duck, let's not wear pants. Instead, drape ourselves in organza.
Short and sweet.
You know? Mm. I mean, I feel like it resonates with George. Like, he joked about, like, being draped in velvet, like, this sort of plays. Yeah. He likes, you know, like a toga of organza. You know, no pants vibes.
I like it. And you know what? Sometimes you, like, do these extremely long, drawn-out poems that are amazing as well. So that, like, you need these short.
I like
a haiku almost.
Oh, it's amazing as well. But I always botch them because they're too long. So they don't
this
land.
This is great. It's great. It's all about balance. I love it.
Yes, we're entering into the haiku era of the Costanza stanza.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.